comes to fungicides, there's only one way to spell yield. N-E-O. Miravis Neo is the 2024 number one retailer recommended corn fungicide for a reason. It dominates spots, rots, blights, and stress to out-yield competitive brands like Veltima. And there's 6 years of university data to prove it. Ask your Syngenta retailer about using Miravis Neo for more yield more often. Based on 2024 Stratus Retailer Efficacy Study. Always read and follow label instructions.
This is Hidden Killers Week in Review.
A look back at the most prolific stories of the week.
Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
Sometimes the safest place is the most dangerous. You're tuned in to Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi, featuring psychotherapist and author Siobhan Scott.
The suitcase murder trial. Sarah Boone is the one that's accused of being that murderer. In fact, well, it's not really a question. She knows he was in the suitcase, and she was there. The question more so is accountability. Was this a premeditated murder? Is this something she thought about for a long time? I'm going to go kill him tonight under the guise of playing hide and seek, or is this really someone who has the mentality of basically an 11-year-old, played hide-and-seek in a suitcase, did what an 11-year-old would probably do if they were drinking heavily, and went and took a nap, and then realized, oh, God. Joining me to discuss, Siobhan Scott, psychotherapist and author. She's been on The Stand now, which has been somewhat interesting. I've watched bits and pieces of it, and we've seen, you know, a lot of what we've been hashing out here for the past many a months, exactly as it has been. She put him in a suitcase, got the video talking to him and taunting him, fell asleep. What are we looking at here with Sarah Boone? Is this a cold, calculated murderer or someone with, you know, probably a personality disorder and an age and a mind that's stuck in childhood?
Yeah, I just the bit I've seen, I'm surprised at how cogent she's been because, you know, some of the earlier hearings in court, she did not present very well. And I think, yeah, a drunk 11-year-old, I think you nailed it with that. That is certainly how it seems. It doesn't seem cold and calculating. They had this history of heavy, heavy drinking, previous violence. Does she have battered women syndrome, which is apparently, you know, what the defense is claiming that justified this behavior? Some of that may fit for the jury because what we know about battered women's syndrome, people will have overreactions when they're presented that reminds them of something bad that happened in the past. And so will this be something that sticks for a jury? It certainly might.
Well, and if you look at the kind of the equation, if you mix battered woman syndrome in here with some sort of personality disorder,
yeah,
which may over-exaggerate things and make things far worse than they actually are. Yeah, I mean, it kind of makes sense. What really stood out to me, and tell me your take on this, that defined all of this in terms of her mindset, was the pretrial hearing right before everything started, where she gives her rider, basically, to the judge, saying, I'd like chips, I'd like 5 mints, I want a Pop-Tart, I want some candy, because I can't get it at the canteen, and I've made an agreement with the bailiff over here. He's going to get it for me. Is that okay? Mm-hmm. The judge is like, no, it's not okay. That seems like something an 11-year-old would be thinking of. It's going to be a long day in court. I got to sit here all day. I'm going to get bored. I better have some snacks. That's an 11-year-old. That's not a 40-some-year-old woman thinking.
Yeah. Sometimes people are nuts and sometimes they're an odd duck. She's an odd duck. And so many of her difficulties working with previous attorneys, this is what, you know, she's gone through, went through 8, I think.
Yeah.
It's somebody who's not, she's not quite right. Or as they used to say about my crazy aunt with schizophrenia, she's not right in the head.
Yeah.
You know, there's just a lot wrong with this gal. And you pour alcohol into a mix like this. And I'm sure the boyfriend, the dead partner had a slew of his own personality problems. And you put two drunk people together like this and you get a bad outcome. Surprise.
Yeah. I mean, what watching her is fascinating because, I mean, we've seen plenty of people that, you know, put on a show or act a certain way because they think that that's going to be best. If you watch her, the prism at which she's seeing all this through her prism, her truth, if you will, she believes this shit. I mean, she believes it's you know, and it's a reasonable request. She believes it's reasonable to ask the judge for a Pop-Tart and 5 mints. I mean, everyone else is like, you're on trial for murder. You're worried about mints, and you think like you're going to get empathy and sympathy from other people when the judge denies you that. She looks in the camera with like a wah-wah. It's like, it was like an SNL bit almost. It wasn't so sad and scary it like could have been. But that's how she thinks. She's thinking that's a reasonable request. So when you have that mindset, there's a lot of other things that probably seemed reasonable as well. Like taking a nap after you put your boyfriend in a suitcase.
Yes. Agree completely.
It's a twisted case. We'll see where this all lands. Again, I could see this being another one where it's going to be tricky for a jury determining, you know, truly what her intent was as we watch the Sarah Boone trial. Siobhan Scott, psychotherapist and author, thank you for joining us. And here we are with this case, a trial that feels equal parts tragic and absurd, leaving us wondering, is this the story of a cold-blooded killer or a deeply troubled person with a childlike mind who made a catastrophic choice under the influence? Watching this unfold, you can't help but wonder, how does someone end up thinking that stuffing their boyfriend into a suitcase is all fun and games and then taking a nap as if nothing is wrong? It's a level of dysfunction that feels surreal, almost comedic, until you remember that someone died. But here's the real issue. Is this a case of premeditated murder, or are we looking at a cocktail of psychological disorders, alcoholism, and emotional chaos spiraling out of control? Sarah Boone's behavior, the bizarre court request, her cavalier attitude, and her inability to grasp the seriousness of the situation paints a portrait of someone operating with a disturbingly stunted emotional capacity. You almost expect her next motion to the court to be for chocolate milk in a blanket. The defense is leaning into battered woman syndrome, suggesting Boone snapped under the weight of years of toxic dysfunction. But how much of that holds up when you got video evidence of her taunting her boyfriend as he begged for his life inside a suitcase? Was this an act of deliberate cruelty, or did she genuinely not understand the consequences of her actions? Someone with emotional immaturity might not. This is a challenge for the jury. How do you measure intent when the person on trial seems to operate on an entirely different wavelength from the rest of us? It's easy to look at her and dismiss her behavior as ridiculous or absurd, but that absurdity raises a serious question. Can someone be held accountable for murder if they truly didn't comprehend the weight of what they were doing? And here's the tricky part. Boone's behavior might make her seem more like a clown than a criminal mastermind. That doesn't mean she isn't dangerous, whether it's immaturity, alcoholism, or something darker. Her inability to grasp reality led to the death of another person. If we excuse that as just who she is, where do we draw the line? And here's the real kicker. Do we view her differently because she's a woman? If the roles were reversed and a man had put his girlfriend in a suitcase and laughed as she suffocated, would the narrative even be the same? Would we be as willing to debate whether it was just a tragic accident or the result of psychological dysfunction? Ultimately, this trial forces us to take hard questions and ask hard questions about accountability. How much do someone's psychological struggles mitigate their responsibility? And at what point do excuses stop being explanations and start becoming justifications? I'm Tony Bruschi. If you want to stay up to date on this case and the others that we cover, be sure to press subscribe. And thanks for listening. Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
You're in the thick of a true crime saga, every detail sinking in. And then, wham, a commercial about something you couldn't care less about.
It's like being served a microwaved dinner at a five-star restaurant.
But it doesn't have to be this way. Go for True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts. With True Crime Today Premium Plus, you get uninterrupted, ad-free episodes, extended interviews that dig even deeper into the muck, and early access so you can brag to your friends. It's like ordering the secret menu at a crime buffet. So, search for True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts, subscribe, and savor every twisted detail without interruption.